continuing with our reflections on that which supports and maintains well-being, a sense of refuge, a sense of gatheredness and connectedness, this cultivation of the samadhi, paying some more attention to this important aspect of the path. This aspect of the path, as we've mentioned already, the meditative cultivation of samadhi takes some effort, not necessarily a big effort. In fact, sometimes too much effort diminishes one of the foundations for samadhi, a sense of ease. However, it does take some quality of application. Maybe it's sometimes it's a big effort, but more often than not, it's quite a subtle movement to just bringing our attention back to what is now and connecting with what is here now. Going against the habits of the mind that tends to wander. Going against some of the unconscious habits that we have to be disassociated, disconnected with our body, our feelings, the earth beneath us, with the flow of the breath, the movements of the mind, this tendency to space out, to live in dream worlds, worlds of worry, worlds of anxiety. We don't even sometimes know quite where we are. So we have these habits that are often quite dislocated, dispersed. Habits of dwelling in unconscious, negative or averse states of mind, feeling worried, feeling anxious, feeling defended. And the body becomes very tight and knotted. And so just the effort to check these habits and to go against them. So surprisingly, although in a meditation retreat we're not actually doing very much, it can be quite demanding and quite tiring, just that subtle effort to be present, just to keep checking the tendency not to follow the old habits. So again, encouraging us in this process, particularly the early days of a retreat, to be very patient with some of those habits. Meditation requires a lot of patience, because there's always this sense of beginning again. However lost we get, however strung out we get, however caught up, there's always a possibility of re-establishing our attention, our mindfulness, our presence here and now. Whatever's happened in the past, however awful, memories that can haunt us, things left undone, unsaid, relationships that have been painful, or however longing, however many longings there can be for that which is gone, longing for something, for someone. These tendencies that invade and overwhelm us, being able to just put them down, to put them to one side for the sake of this gathering and calming. So this samadhi is based on calming the body, mind, through the use of attention in the present, through the use of being able to establish presence. Thank you. quality of samadhi, a quality of gatherness, then what we feel, what we experience is a more spaciousness. Rather than feeling constricted, defensive and tight, we begin to feel more space, hard, less threatened, because we feel more connected with the flow of life, connected with body and breath, connected with each other, the world around us. So the body and mind can relax. Mind becomes heart, the jitta, it's called the jitta, the heart, the mind. Space becomes more bright, more quiet, peaceful. Less concern with the ego consciousness recedes somewhat, the sense of our personal battle for survival. Personal seeking for pleasure and avoidance of pain, that tends to recede when there's a sense of gatheredness and samadhi in the heart, allowing for a natural uprising of this well-being. So today we can continue to just cultivate very simply these moments of gatheredness, moments of attention, moments of being here. Moments of connecting body, breath, and receiving that which we usually don't receive. Maybe receiving uncomfortable feelings in the body, places of tightness. Receiving sometimes mind states that we don't like to be with. Feel dull, restless. But patiently breathing with these, patiently accepting and allowing space for that which we usually turn away from or get caught up in. So today, just very simply, keeping it very simple, this activity of gathering, activity of samadhi. Last night, Kitty Saro talked about this in terms of the supports, the five jhana factors. Jhana meaning that which is absorption, collectiveness, five factors that support that. We've been in this subtle effort to cultivate the first two, the effort to bring the attention here. Obstructs that ability to bring the attention here. See the nature of our habits of thinking. Sometimes the way that we think, the way that we dwell, in thoughts and mind states separates us from the sense of being embodied and present. Sometimes we get caught up in quite whirls, like whirlpools of thought and habits and stories and longings, speculations, worries, what will happen in the future, what will happen to my family, what I didn't do, what I need to do. And sometimes they're so powerful, like a vortex. Find ourselves caught in one of these patterns and the body getting tight and the mind trying to battle to bring attention here, and there's a sense of stress and struggle. So when we find ourselves caught in these particularly unwholesome patterns of mind, those that are negative, those that are obstructive to us, the first thing is to just recognize. To actually recognize this is how it is now. There's aversion here. Can we recognize what that tastes like, what that feels like, that resistance? There's resistance here. I don't want to be here. It's quite a pervasive feeling tone in the mind that we often have very unconsciously creates this resistance. To be here, don't want to be with a body mind looking for something. for something. It's not enough. When we sit here breathing quite peacefully, it's not enough. There must be something more. I'm looking for a big firework display of enlightenment, or I'm looking for something. So we can start to recognize the mind when it's averse, when it's resistant. Maybe feeling in the body how that tightens the body. Or the mind when it's seeking, looking for something. How does that feel? It's a slight dislocation, discontent. So first thing, when we see what obstructs our ability to be peaceful, to gather, to connect with something very simple, to be humble enough to be with something like the breath and the body, it takes a lot of a humble quality, patient quality. So get very bored. But when we can notice there's an obstruction here. So just get a sense of how is that feeling of resistance or feeling of seeking. And learning not to add to it. Maybe it has a lot of power because it's a habit of mind that we unconsciously repeat over and over again in our daily life. So learning not to add to that. Can we, that which is not conducive, not helpful for well-being, for gathering attention here and now, when we're with that kind of state, aversion, seeking, discontent, negativity in the mind, in the heart, can we just be patient with it, not to add more fuel? Can turn from it, put it down, turn, come with the breath and the body, then fine, it's good, we can just turn, leave it there, come to the breath and body. But sometimes these states are so powerful that they don't let us do that. We come to body and breath and we find ourselves in a whole storyline. But what about this and what about that? We get spun out. So, and that's happened, just learning not to add anymore, not to add more worry, not to add more fear, not to add more negativity to that which has arisen already and feels unhelpful, unwholesome, obstructive. Not to add, patiently sitting with, allowing to pass like a storm in the sky. Mind's a bit like the weather, can change, sometimes very lovely, calm weather, sometimes like a storm. In Africa we have these storms, they build and they get incredibly powerful, intense, and then they break. It's almost like power, energetic power. It passes and calms, and sometimes the mind's a bit like that. Habits, when we sit like this, it's like a dam, we've created a dam, the energy is not distracted, and so sometimes we can feel those inner storms. To allow them to arise, pass, not to add, not to make a whole complexity, judgment. To inquire, is this helpful? Some of our habits, some of the ways we dwell inwardly in our thinking, some of the ways we think are not that wholesome, not that helpful. Negative patterns of mind, worries, old memories that we dwell on again and again, things that haven't gone well, negative sense of self. To actually see, is this really helpful? Guilt, these kind of emotions that are very destructive, actually. So being able to recognize some of these states of mind, not to add to them, to inquire, is this helpful? Do I really need to go down this route? Do I really need to spend an hour beating myself up for something I didn't do perfectly well? Where will that lead to? So this inquiry, encouraging, it's interesting, these ways of encouraging the attention, the mind, not to be caught into these patterns, but to get a feeling for being patiently, getting a feeling for peacefulness of being able to just establish a sense of centeredness, stability in the present. So this is a training. Samadhi is a training because of the habits that push us around. Training takes patience. Kilesara is talking about that which helps this training of samadhi, vitakka vichara, bringing the mind, bringing the attention again and again and again and again. Here and now, breath, body, presence, sitting. Keeping it very simple. Using thought in a skillful way rather than in an unconscious way. Whereas we think often very habitual, unconscious, running along certain grooves, become deeper and deeper. So using thought in a way that where we guide thinking energy, where mindfulness wisdom guides that energy of thought, wholesome way. What is wholesome? Recognizing this is something that's positive, wholesome, guiding thought to encourage, be here, encouraging very gently, be here, be in the breath, be in the body, coming back to the moment. If it's helpful, one can use a very simple inner word, a very ancient mantra that's used sometimes. It's just the word buddho, which just means be present. Buddho is the mantric form of buddho, which just means to be awake. Buddho, the in-breath, buddho. Oh, it just is a gentle way of using thought, instead of like 3,000 thoughts, 1,000 thoughts, just bringing it to one gentle, simple thought. Good. Breathing in, oh, B-U-D, good. Might have your own word. It's nothing esoteric about the word in itself. It's just a skillful means to give the mind a raft, give the mind this thread to help steady it, to help gather it. Skillful use of thought, recognizing thought that's not helpful when it spins. To sometimes be very patiently sitting. It's like sitting with a child that's just going crazy. Your mind's going everywhere. Screaming, creating a whole scene. You get that child and you start shaking it, then it's not going to help. So sometimes you just patiently sit with the mind when it's screaming, when it's whining, when it's unhappy, when it's discontent. Right, but not adding, so skillfully learning to relate, to recognize the negative tendencies, the unhelpful tendencies, not to add to them, to inquire, is this helpful, knowing that it's not that helpful, and then gently, gently using the thought to nudge attention back here and now, present. So vitakka vichara, and then as we've been talking about, once attention is present, to engage, the mind must in some ways have something to engage with, otherwise it gets very dislocated too. So engaging this vichara, checking out, evaluating, being with, adjusting, to notice, so we bring the attention here and we notice how the body is, how the breath is there tightness? Is the breath tight? Maybe adjusting the breath. Someone was asking yesterday about adjusting the breath. We can do this. Sometimes we find the body's very tight, guts and the shoulders, bellies, tight jaw. And it feels constricted and heavy. And the breath is a remarkable element. It's a wonderful breath energy. To be able to consciously realize it's a great friend. You breathe very unconsciously, breath just happens. Sometimes when we really notice, say, the breath, the body's constricted, then to actually more consciously guide the breath, to breathe in fully through the body, elongating the breath. It's not a strong breath, but maybe very subtly just elongating the breath, so you feel the breath energy. When you feel the breath energy coming in, filling the lungs, the intestines, the belly, down through the legs. And this helps to catch the mind, the mental energy. It helps to calm the mental energy. It helps to gather the mental energy. Taking a breath right down into the belly. An elongated breath, and then breathing out in a slow, elongated way, so that there's a steady outpouring. If you find you're very dispersed, you're very tight, worried, when you're using the breath line, it's just to begin to calm, center, gather the mental energy. So the mental energy starts to connect, the mind isn't so distracted, it's just starting to come into relationship with the experience of body. So using breath, as I was mentioning yesterday, if you find yourself a very willful, controlling kind of person, goal-orientated, maybe you need to soften on the out-breath, learn to soften. Learn not to have a goal trying to get somewhere in the meditation. Learn to just be more peaceful in this moment, more accepting, more soft around it, receiving this moment. So maybe have the focus more on the out-breath, letting go, reminding yourself to let go of your ambitions, let go of your goals, let go of your control. Just to soften, and then as you breathe out, allowing the breath to come through the body, just soften the shoulder and the jaw, and the driving. So for some of us, we might spend a lot of time, if we're very driven in our life, just focusing more on this breathing out, softening. Being more at ease, learning to be more at ease with how things are, being more humble, more receptive, the vichara, the receptive capacity, allowing that to be stronger. Not being so directed, but learning to spend time with perhaps experience in the body we usually dismiss because we're too busy getting somewhere. We've got plans and we've got ambitions and we've got things to do. So bodies, being very patient, being willing to listen to the grumpy mind, listening to the painful knee, listening to the tight shoulders. So okay, I've got all the time in the world. So this kind of way of balancing our energy, our effort, if it's too driven. Some people have the opposite. People just float around in life, can never find a goal, can never find a direction. Want other people to make the decisions, want other people to take risk. Sort of float. And then when we meditate, we just, people often like meditation, and just really space out. Get quite comfortable and the mind just spaces out. Get to a certain place and just hang there. But there's no edge, there's no inquiry, there's no strength. Sort of pink, fuzzy cloud. So if you have that kind of a tendency to be a bit floaty, a bit spacious, maybe setting a goal. 5 breaths. Can I be with 5 breaths? 1 breath. 2 breaths. floating off to some dream. It's going to be like when I sit in the Himalayas, my enlightened guru. And so we notice we're floating off and coming back, maybe one breath again. So that then the balance that you need is more to bring, to learn to bring effort, to bring a sense of application, to have a goal, even if it's a very humble goal, of being of five breaths, counting them, five breaths, and then maybe focusing more on the in-breath, gives you a more sense of energizing yourself, breathing in, staying with it. So just getting a feeling, it's not that we're necessarily one way or the other all the time. Our energies move. Sometimes we're very tight, sometimes we're very spaced. But just getting a feeling how to adjust and how to subtly shift with the breath and with our effort to bring the sense of balance. And there's balance when the heart is gathered and the breath falls to its natural rhythm. Mind is engaged with the breath, the body. And as Kisara was saying last night, this analogy of the bathman's apprentice. The breath energy then, the prana or the chi of the breath energies can start to suffuse. I don't know if you, this is a lovely English word, I don't know if you know, suffuse is like permeate, move through the whole body, so the body becomes lighter. Feels lighter. Suffused with breath energy. Breath, body, and mind is more unified. So these last three jhana factors that bring together this quality of samadhi, first two, bringing the mind, the attention to this moment, receptive to evaluate, to adjust the effort, to adjust the relationship to our thinking patterns. Using skill, and then these feeling of ease, piti sukha, the ease of relaxation through the adjusting of effort, learning how to bring a sense of ease in each moment, too tight, too loose, to just bring the right quality of effort, very, very subtle. Body, breath, ease, connected, and then Pidakata, this last means unified, sense of connectedness and balance. This activity of samatha meditation, calming meditation, gathering meditation requires mindfulness, requires presence of mind, requires being able to know what's going on here and now. Sati. It's a Pali word. In some ways, the English translation of mindfulness isn't always that helpful, because in mind we have this connotation of thinking about something, going up into the head and thinking mindfulness. But in fact it means more like remembering or regathering. Sati means to all the bits and pieces that are split apart, that disunited within us, been gathering them, like remembering, bringing back together, sati, mindfulness. One of our teachers translated as appreciation, appreciative awareness, being able to, so it has a bit more of a heart feeling then, so it's not just a cold calculating observation, which we sometimes connotation with mindfulness, calculating, observer in the mind, judging things. But super ego just sitting there, it was good meditation, bad meditation, or mindful, or not mindful. And so it becomes like a prison sentence. And sentenced to so many years of mindfulness, something that feels, begins to feel quite heavy. We've got to be mindful. It feels like, means we have to get very slow, very controlling, try and stop the mind. We call that mindfulness. So something becomes quite fragile and tight. So just to this word sati, to try and bring more of a heart quality into it. This appreciative awareness, this translation is quite nice because it's like coming into contact. In a way, mindfulness is what allows us to come into contact, to know that we're a human being, to know that we have a body, to know that we have a breath, to know that there's karmic momentum, there's actions and how to discern what's right and wholesome and not. All of this requires mindfulness. So what allows us to come into contact is quality of awareness, to be present with, and he's added this word appreciation. I like that very much because it's like, it's not just a cool way, but it's a way of honoring, a way of appreciating and receiving with a sensitivity. So mindfulness in a way has great sensitivity in it. Vulnerability almost, because one's actually opening the heart, the mind, the jitta, attention to connect. How is it now? Can I receive? How is it? How's the body? How's the breath? How's the mood? What's the experience of contact? Sometimes it's also translated like a gatekeeper, mindfulness. So the gatekeeper of the heart. There's no mindfulness, which I'm choice to say, it's like if you're not mindful, you're mad. So we live in a mad world because there's not much mindfulness. Where any impulse comes and is acted on, righteousness and is acted upon, hatred and is acted upon, aversion. So the samadhi begins, the mindfulness work together when there's gatheredness, helps support mindfulness. When there's moments of attention and mindfulness, it supports the samadhi. So this, to bring mindfulness is to really bring attention to this present with a certain kind of quality. It has a receptivity, it has a sensitivity, it has an appreciation, it has an openness, and it has an inquiry, a discernment. What is? Is this wholesome or not? Should be this that we let go of, picked up? Is my effort too tight or too loose? So it's a very vital, it's not a cold, clunky thing. It's a very vital, dynamic, moment-by-moment experience. It's both reflecting on what we're doing, being able to be with the body, breath, action, and also safe to reflect on the being itself, the quality of being, how one is, what's happening here. And the body, what's the body, mindfulness of the body, feeling the body, mindfulness of breath, feeling the breath, mindfulness of the state of mind. Is the mind expansive, open? Is the mind constricted, negative? Is the mind bright, the heart bright? Sati, these qualities considered in a way the core, the heart, the whole of the Buddha's teaching almost. It's something that really appears again and again. It's this cultivation, something to cultivate, this ability to be attentive, to be present in a particular kind of way. Attention with reflection, inwardly and outwardly, attention with sensitivity, attention. connection with openness. So today we have silence and the schedule to support our cultivation. A day just to really explore moment by moment, little by little, this quality of samadhi is gathering. Do we have the tools that we can use that has been laid out? Ability to train attention to come to the present, and then when in the present to connect in the body and breath, and to investigate, to be fully with, to cultivate this mindfulness, be fully with experience, body and breath, and exploring with the use of breath, just exploring how to use the breath sometimes, when to adjust, to not be frightened to explore and to adjust, to bring, to allow the mental energy, the emotional energy to come to some balance, to some calm, to some centeredness. Say that when mindfulness is there, then this leads us to the gateway of the undying, the deathless. There's no mindfulness, we're busy grasping and being pulled by the habits of becoming, aversion, trying to get somewhere, trying to get away from something. When mindfulness is established, then we begin to know that which is not changing, that which is just present. So, giving our day today to this cultivation of samadhi, gatherings, and sati, mindfulness, cultivation of positive qualities of the heart.